Imagine spending like billions of dollars to engineer this omniscient factory-controlling AI agent, only to realize you can't actually turn the thing on because the basic data login screen is fundamentally broken.
Which is just nuts.
But that is the exact reality gap the tech industry is slamming into this week. So welcome to our latest deep dive. We're taking a fresh stack of notes straight from the AI Data Daily Dispatch, dated mid-March 2026. And, you know, our mission today is to cut through all the noise for you.
Yeah, there is a lot of noise right now.
So much. We are skipping the polished marketing jargon across the Microsoft logs. We're actively decoding the panicked Reddit threads and scanning the grassroots GitHub repositories to figure out what is actually happening in the world of enterprise AI and data infrastructure right now.
And I'd say the overarching theme emerging from all these disparate sources today is, well, it's a massive industry-wide reality check. We're watching the entire tech sector desperately try to bridge this enormous gap. On one side, you have these incredibly cutting-edge, almost science fiction AI experiments. And then on the other side, you have the unforgiving reality of the enterprise, where systems, you know, absolutely must be secure, they must be scalable, and crucially, they have to be affordable.
Right. It's a wild contrast. I mean, we are going to look at everything today from massive corporate announcements at NVIDIA GTC.
Which is huge.
Oh, massive. It's essentially the Super Bowl for AI developers. But we're looking at that all the way down to a grassroots open source swarm intelligence trending right now on GitHub. So we're going to give you the full picture completely hype-free.
Exactly.
And to really wrap our heads around this shift toward enterprise reality, we kind of have to start with a biggest, most ambitious attempt to manage it all from the top down. And I'm talking about Microsoft's massive announcement at that NVIDIA GTC conference.
Right, you're talking about the Microsoft Foundry Agent Service.
Yes, exactly. So according to the Microsoft blog, the Foundry Agent Service has officially reached general availability, or GA. And they are positioning this as the tool that finally brings AI agent orchestration to true enterprise scale. They rolled out two big components. First, there's the control plane, which is designed for visualizing how these AI agents behave. Second, they announced the physical AI data factory for manufacturing applications. Now, the dispatch notes this is significant infrastructure for production AI workflows. But, and this is a massive, but here the source also clearly states that we are still in the early days for practical enterprise deployment.
Which highlights the exact tension we're talking about today, honestly.
Okay, let's unpack this
Yeah.
because the terminology is just completely contradicting itself here. If the sources are flat out admitting that this tech is still in the, you know, early days for practical deployment, isn't calling it general availability just a massive marketing flex?
It definitely feels like a flex.
Right. It sounds like they're throwing this highly official production-ready title on something that is still very much a work in progress. And then there's this control plane concept. I'm trying to visualize this. Is this basically just a digital middle manager? Like, have we just invented an interface to monitor an invisible workforce of AI bots to make sure they aren't slacking off or breaking machinery on the physical factory floor?
Well, it functions exactly like a middle manager, yeah, but the motivation behind it is much more critical than just tracking productivity. What's fascinating here is the fundamental black box dilemma of modern AI.
Okay.
You have to look at the mechanics of why a control plane is mandatory in the first place. Neural networks do not think in English, right? And they don't use standard logic trees. They make decisions based on millions of mathematical weights and
Yeah,
probabilities.
it's just endless math.
Exactly. So if an AI decides to abruptly shut down a manufacturing pipeline, which, by the way, is exactly what this physical AI data factory is built to control, a human manager cannot just ask the AI, "Hey, why did you do that?"
Right, because the AI would just spit out like a matrix of floating point numbers that means absolutely nothing to a compliance officer.
Precisely. It's completely unreadable. So visualizing agent behavior isn't just a neat dashboard feature for the C-suite to look at. It is the core mechanism for enterprise accountability.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The control plane is Microsoft's attempt to translate that invisible math back into a tangible audit trail. Like, what data did the agent actually look at? What parameters triggered its decision? If a company cannot mathematically trace the logic of an autonomous agent, they cannot legally or operationally trust it.
That makes a ton of sense.
So while calling it general availability might be pushing the marketing envelope a bit, providing that control plane is the absolute prerequisite for any major corporation to even consider deploying AI onto a physical factory floor.
So it's not actually about the AI being perfectly smart. It's about the AI being perfectly transparent when it inevitably makes a weird decision. They need a paper trail for the algorithms.
They need an ironclad paper trail. But, and here is the structural flaw in that entire top-down vision, you cannot orchestrate massive, intelligent, autonomous AI agents without an incredibly secure and reliable pipeline of data feeding them in the first place.
Right.
If the underlying data is flawed or corrupted or even just inaccessible, the AI's decisions are entirely compromised.
Which means the shiny AI agents are completely dependent on the gritty plumbing underneath.
Yes.
And that brings us to the actual realities data teams are facing right now, like far away from the glitz and glamour of NVIDIA GTC. Because while the executives are on stage pitching this flawless AI manufacturing utopia, we have dispatches from the actual trenches.
The real world.
Yeah, the real world. Specifically, we're looking at updates from the r/Microsoft Fabric subreddit and this highly technical blog called Dax Noob. And the news here is remarkably unglamorous. First up, after multiple postponements, Workspace Identity for Fabric Notebooks is finally functional.
A seemingly minor update that actually unblocks thousands of enterprise data projects.
It really does. The Reddit users are reporting that to actually get it to work, you have to bypass the standard pipeline user interface entirely and use connections created through a backend menu called Manage Gateways and Connections.
Classic workaround.
Right. But despite that clunky workaround, this completely resolves a massive security and access pain point for developers. And on top of that, a Microsoft employee just shared a new CI/CD framework that stands for Continuous Integration and Continuous Deployment, extending a tool called Fabric-Seest.
Mm.
This update allows enterprise teams to support tabular editor C# scripts during deployment, which helps them maintain their custom semantic models.
To understand why these grassroots engineers are actually celebrating this, we have to look at how data actually moves through a corporation.
Okay, walk me through it.
Think about what a Fabric notebook actually does. It is an automated script that processes massive amounts of sensitive corporate data. We're talking everything from daily sales figures to internal supply chain metrics.
Right, the lifeblood of the company.
Exactly. But historically, managing who or what has permission to run those notebooks has been an absolute nightmare.
Because if you tie the notebook to a specific engineer's user credentials,
yeah,
and that engineer changes their password or, you know, leaves the company, the whole automated data pipeline suddenly crashes.
Exactly. The system just throws an authentication error, and the AI downstream literally starves because it stops receiving fresh data.
Wow.
Yeah. So Workspace Identity fundamentally changes that mechanism. It allows the Fabric workspace itself to have a secure system-managed identity. The automated worker gets its own permanent ID badge rather than borrowing a human's badge.
Oh, that's huge.
It is. As long as you route it properly through those gateway connections you mentioned earlier, the data flows securely and continuously without human bottlenecks.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me, because the irony of this split screen is just incredible. For you listening, picture this contrast. On one side, you have billionaires at GTC proudly unveiling omniscient AI agents that are going to revolutionize global supply chains.
Right.
And on the exact same day, you have a bunch of highly paid data engineers on Reddit throwing a massive digital block party just because a basic login and identity feature finally works without crashing.
It's hilarious.
It's like a space agency broadcasting a live, glamorous announcement for a manned mission to Mars, while all the engineers in the background are just popping champagne because they finally got the elevator and the launch pad to go up and down.
I love that analogy. But honestly, if that elevator doesn't work, nobody is going to Mars.
Fair point.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, these aren't just minor bug fixes.
Yeah.
CI/CD frameworks and secure identities are the absolute bedrock of enterprise data infrastructure. Let's look at that second update you mentioned, the CI/CD framework supporting C# scripts for semantic models.
Right. From what I understand, a semantic model is basically the master translation dictionary for a company's data. It turns raw database numbers into actual business concepts, so the AI knows that a certain column of numbers represents, like, Q3 profit.
That is a perfect way to conceptualize it. Now imagine a team of developers trying to update that master dictionary while the business is running. If they make a mistake and push a broken definition live, every dashboard, every report, and every AI agent relying on that dictionary instantly breaks.
Just chaos.
Total chaos. That is where continuous integration and continuous deployment comes in. CI/CD is a deployment pipeline. It forces developers to make changes in an isolated sandbox.
Okay.
The system then automatically tests those changes to ensure they don't break anything, and only then does it deploy them to the live production environment.
So adding support for these C# scripts just means developers can write highly complex custom code to automate the updating of that master dictionary.
Yeah.
And the CI/CD pipeline ensures they don't accidentally blow up the company's entire data architecture in the process.
Precisely. Without custom semantic models and without rock-solid deployment pipelines, all those futuristic AI tools from the Foundry announcement are essentially useless. These grassroots framework fixes on Reddit and GitHub are what actually allow companies to adopt modern AI practices without risking catastrophic data failures.
So if the grassroots engineers are quietly patching these massive foundational holes online, what is corporate leadership doing right now? Because they must see this.
Oh, they see it. And they are panicking.
Yeah. And you can see that panic live at our next source. All of these granular technical fixes are currently culminating in a massive real-world gathering happening literally this week. I'm talking about FabCon and SQLTon in Atlanta.
Microsoft's largest dedicated data platform conference.
Right. We have reports of over 8,000 attendees gathering for this. And while everyone is apparently hyping up something called the Power Hour.
Oh, yeah, the Power Hour.
Which is usually where they rapid-fire demo the flashiest, most futuristic features, right? But the real meat of the announcements coming out of FabCon is squarely focused on governance and budget. Microsoft just announced new Purview innovations for Fabric, specifically focusing on data security and governance for what they are calling AI transformation safety.
AI transformation safety. That phrasing alone tells you everything you need to know about the current corporate mindset.
It is entirely defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And simultaneously, we're seeing reports that a service called Fireworks AI has just been added to Microsoft Foundry on Azure. Now, Fireworks AI is explicitly targeted at cost-sensitive, low-latency machine learning deployments.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Look at the enterprise triad we've just built. You have 8,000 corporate leaders gathering in Atlanta to figure out how to lock down their data with Purview while simultaneously hunting for budget-friendly deployment tools like Fireworks AI. It seems like these massive companies are finally waking up to the reality that the AI transformation they've been sold might actually become a massive security liability and an uncontrollable billing nightmare if they aren't careful.
You're absolutely spot on. What we are watching is the industry reacting to the dual forces that govern all modern enterprise technology, and those are fear and frugality.
Fear and frugality. I like that.
The fear is represented by Microsoft Purview. Companies are terrified, and rightly so, that they are going to unleash an autonomous AI agent that accidentally ingests and leaks sensitive HR data or violates international privacy laws.
Oh, man. The lawsuits.
Exactly. Purview is the mechanism to stop that. It is a governance layer that physically scans a company's entire data estate, tags sensitive information, and enforces rigid access boundaries.
Okay, so it builds walls.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It ensures the AI physically cannot read data it isn't cleared for. They need that governance. They need the breaks.
And the frugality part is represented by Fireworks AI.
Yeah.
Because running these massive state-of-the-art foundational models is mind-bogglingly expensive. Every single time you ask a massive model a question, it requires immense compute power from specialized GPUs, and those GPUs cost dollars by the second.
Exactly. And if you scale that up to millions of automated queries a day across an entire global corporation, your IT budget evaporates in a week.
Yeah, you're bankrupt.
Which is why Fireworks AI is so significant. They specialize in high-performance, low-latency inference. And inference is simply the computational process of the AI actually generating an answer from its trained model.
Right.
By providing a highly optimized, cost-sensitive inference alternative directly on Azure, they are offering a way to do AI without burning down the data center financially. This raises an important question, actually. Are high-performance, low-latency inference services like Fireworks AI becoming the true heroes of the AI revolution simply because they allow companies to actually afford the AI they are trying to build?
It's the classic during a gold rush, sell shovels dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
The massive headline-grabbing AI models are the gold, but tools like Fireworks AI and Microsoft Purview are the shovels in the secure vaults. You absolutely need them to actually run a profitable business.
Exactly.
But I actually want to push back on this entire enterprise narrative for a second.
Okay, go for it.
Because while 8,000 people are at SabCon trying to lock down their data, manage their budgets, and build these massive heavily monitored top-down AI systems, there's a completely different movement happening simultaneously. The open source community on GitHub is taking a radically decentralized approach to how AI predicts the future.
Oh, this brings us to the tool of the day from the Dispatch, which completely flips the enterprise paradigm on its head.
Yes, a tool called MiroFish. Now, this is a GitHub repository. The handle is 6UAJ6GHJ/MiroFish, and the Dispatch notes it is gaining massive, rapid traction. They describe it as a universal swarm intelligence engine for prediction tasks.
Swarm intelligence.
Right. And the Dispatch notes that while this isn't specifically a tool for traditional data engineering, it's an incredibly interesting approach to ensemble modeling for machine learning teams who are looking outside the standard corporate tech stack.
Swarm intelligence is one of the most fascinating concepts in modern computing because it mimics biological efficiency.
It really is. For you listening, contrast this MiroFish approach with the massive enterprise infrastructure we were just dissecting.
Mm-hmm.
The enterprise approach is essentially spending billions of dollars to engineer a single, massive, incredibly expensive super shark.
Right, the super shark.
Yeah, it's immensely powerful, but it's heavy. It requires a massive ecosystem to keep it alive. And if that single brain hallucinates or gets confused, the whole company has a huge problem. MiroFish sounds like replacing that monolithic super shark with a massive school of tiny synchronized fish.
That's a great visual.
But mathematically, how does that actually work? If the enterprise models running on Azure have billions of parameters and access to endless compute, how can a swarm of tiny simple models on GitHub possibly outmaneuver them in a prediction task?
In many complex scenarios, they absolutely can, and it all comes down to the mechanics of ensemble modeling.
Okay.
With the super shark, you know, a massive monolithic model, if it has a blind spot in its training data or if it hallucinates a bad fact, that single flawed conclusion becomes the final answer. The system fails.
Right. It just confidently lies to you.
Yes. But ensemble modeling, and specifically swarm intelligence, completely decentralizes the prediction process. Instead of relying on one massive brain, you deploy dozens or hundreds of much smaller specialized models.
Oh, wow.
They all analyze the exact same data set independently, and then they essentially vote to form a collective prediction.
Oh, so it's like asking 100 random people to guess the exact weight of a cow at a state fair.
Yes, the classic wisdom of the crowd.
Right. Individually, almost all of them will be wrong. Some will guess way too high, some way too low. But if you take all 100 guesses and average them together, the collective blind spots and extreme errors mathematically cancel each other out, and the final average is usually incredibly accurate.
That is the exact mathematical principle at play here. In machine learning, a swarm approach like MiroFish is vastly more agile. Because the individual models are small, they are computationally cheap to run.
Which perfectly solves that frugality problem we discussed earlier.
Exactly. And crucially, they are highly robust. If one small model in the swarm completely fails or makes a wild prediction, the collective intelligence of the remaining swarm simply overrules it. The error is absorbed and averaged out.
So it's algorithm-level democracy, as opposed to the corporate dictatorship of a massive centralized agent.
That's a brilliant way to conceptualize it, yeah. And if we connect this back to the overarching theme we've been exploring today, it highlights such a crucial lesson for anyone navigating this space. There is never just one single way to solve a complex problem in technology.
Yeah.
The enterprise world, represented by Microsoft Foundry and FabCon, is currently building massive, monolithic, heavily governed stacks. They are relying on control planes and Purview to ensure absolute top-down safety and compliance.
Because they have billions of dollars in legal liability on the line. Yeah.
Exactly. But the open source world, represented by MiroFish on GitHub, is proving that you don't always need a massive, expensive brain to get a highly accurate result. Sometimes an agile, decentralized ensemble of tiny, coordinated minds can give you a better, faster, and cheaper prediction. They're attacking the exact same reality gap, just from opposite ends of the spectrum.
It really shows how incredibly diverse and rapidly evolving this entire ecosystem is right now. And honestly, that brings us to the end of our source stack for today. Let's take a second to look at the massive amount of ground we've covered.
We covered a lot.
We did. We started by looking at the sheer scale of top-down enterprise orchestration, with Microsoft Foundry agents attempting to put a digital control plane in charge of physical manufacturing, basically trying to solve the black box dilemma.
Right. Then we waded deep into the gritty, essential realities of secure data deployment. We explored how grassroots data engineers are using workspace identities and CI/CD pipelines and Fabric to ensure the data feeding those AI agents is actually secure and reliable.
Yeah, the elevator to Mars. And then we looked at the massive security and cost implications currently being debated by 8,000 corporate leaders at FabCon in Atlanta, where the real battle is navigating the fear of data leaks with Purview and the frugality of finding affordable AI inference with Fireworks AI.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we swam with the open source community exploring how the decentralized math of swarm intelligence like Mirofish is offering a lightweight collective alternative to massive corporate models.
It is a profound amount of architectural change happening simultaneously across very different, often conflicting layers of the technology stack.
Absolutely. And for you listening, that is the whole goal of this show. You are now armed with the critical aha moments and a comprehensive view of today's deeply complex AI and data landscape. You understand the structural tension between the shiny corporate future and the gritty engineering foundation, and you didn't even have to decipher a single dense technical blog or scroll through a massive Reddit thread yourself.
We synthesize the documentation so you can focus on the implications.
Exactly. But before we wrap up, we always like to leave you with something provocative to chew on, a thought that builds purely on the themes we've just unpacked.
Yeah, and looking at today's landscape, here's the question I want to leave you with. We are currently watching two highly distinct, almost philosophical paradigms mature at exactly the same time. On one hand, you have the heavy, centralized control of enterprise AI agents governed by control planes, locked down by Purview, and managed strictly from the top down to ensure perfect accountability. On the other hand, you have the lightweight, decentralized approach of open source swarm intelligence, where computational power and decision making are distributed among many specialized voting pieces. As these two technologies inevitably scale and weave their way into our daily lives and our global economy, what will the ultimate future of problem solving actually look like? When we look back 10 years from now, will the digital infrastructure of our world be ruled by one massive, omniscient corporate agent that manages everything from above? Or will it be guided by millions of specialized open source models swimming together in a massive, decentralized swarm?
Are we building a globally governed super shark or an uncontrollable school of fish? That is such a fantastic question to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the architectures around you. Keep looking past the marketing jargon, and we'll catch you next time as we continue to explore the ideas shaping our world.